Hey everybody,
it's Ned
and Pat from Kill Your Radio. We all know that Halloween is coming up soon, and it can be a very fun time of year.
But it can also be a deadly time of year. Remember kids, a witch can be a powerful weapon. If your dad has a witch in the house, make sure that it's unloaded with spells, and don't point it at any of your friends. Also, between 5 and 10 million kids a year are killed with a witch that they don't know is spell loaded.
And remember kids, never take a loaded witch to school. This message has been brought to you by the Coalition Against Witch-Related Violence.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho of Fozzy, and you're listening to Kill Your Radio. If you stop listening, I'm going to cry, and that will kill you.
Kill Your Radio is brought to you by Amberly Fleming Photography. Quality you expect at prices you deserve. Visit them today at facebook.com/aflemingphotography and tell her that Kill Your Radio sent you.
Hey, this is Dallas from Maylin and the Sons of Disaster, and you're listening to Kill Your Radio.
Let the attack begin.
Time to kick it from the start, but save the best for last. Just sit back, relax, and ease your minds with Ned and Pat. You never know where they're going or what they're gonna say. They start in Leslie County, they end up on Pirate Bay. They keep the special guests coming like some interviews disciples. 1 minute it's DDP, then the next it's Shawn Michaels. Retro phenomenons bringing throwback back, like Nico with a symbol or when Patrick's name was Brack. Chuckles in my belly, now it's time to let them out. Ned and Pat, they got the funnies, and Nico's got the rap. So what y'all waiting for? Time to pull you up a seat and Kill the Radio, this podcast is yours to keep.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to introduce to you Ned and Pat.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Ned and Pat Carry Radio Show. And we're here live at the Lilac House.
The Lilac House. When do we turn into a feminine flower?
Yeah.
I don't know. What is a hyacinth anyway?
A hyacinth is like a kind of a flower, I'm pretty sure. Or some kind of a bush. I know it's a Doors song.
Yeah.
Reference.
The Hyacinth House.
Do you know in a few hundred years ago in the Netherlands?
For anyone that hasn't heard, this is completely on par with what we do every week. So continue. Yeah.
They had this big stock bubble because people were buying tulip bulbs, and there was one that was red with white streaks. That was very rare, and people were paying like thousands and thousands of Dutch guilders for them. And everybody was going crazy and buying all these tulips, and all of a sudden the bottom fell out and tulips became pretty much worthless again. And people were like jumping out of windmills.
Oh my God. Jumping out of windmills.
Yeah. See how I made it like Dutch there?
Yeah.
They're jumping over in dikes. They were so freaked out they pulled their finger out of dikes.
Okay. We're getting a little crazy there.
All right. That's what they do over there. It's how they keep the whole place from sinking. They hire little boys to stick their finger in dikes.
Please. Please continue. Oh my God. That's crazy. Anyway, so welcome
to this thing we call Kill Your Radio.
I'm Pat. That's Ned.
Yeah, and believe it or not, we've got a uber monster spectacular craziest guest ever tonight.
Absolutely. Tonight, all you metal fans relish because we speak with the man himself, Mr. Philip Anselmo.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, we done this interview earlier today, and Phil is, he's just super cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of expect him to be, like, kind of angry all the time.
Pat, not to give anything away, but Pat insists that this is an angry man.
But he's not. He's a happy man who likes to poke fun at himself.
Yeah. And, he was pretty, I don't know.
Candid?
Pretty candid about it.
Yeah, he was. It was really, I mean, I can't believe the way I actually got to talk to him.
Yeah.
I think we say that after every interview. But
this is like really maybe the craziest one.
Yeah, this is Phil Anselmo. This is the guy that you know, this is Cowboys from Hell.
I mean, Down could possibly be my favorite band ever.
Yeah. This is Cemetery Gates. This is Bury Me in Smoke. Stone the Crow.
Yeah.
You know, Super Joint Ritual.
This is like taking the Allman Brothers and feeding them gunpowder for like a year and then.
And then giving them heroin and matches.
Yeah.
And taking Cher out of the equation.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But along with that, to accompany that, either this week or next week, we're going to have an album review of Phil's solo project, Philip and Anselmo and the Illegals. And the album is called Walk Through Exits Only. And the album reviews that will be featured on Kill Your Radio are going to be done by none other than a former Boba Flex guitarist, Mr. John Hoskins.
Yeah.
Who was conspicuous by his absence earlier today.
Yeah. But
maybe he's out shredding.
Yeah. Wow. That's okay, because this is a Boba Flexible show, and we...
Really? Why didn't we think about that months ago?
I don't know. It's like... That's why I think cookie crumbles.
That might be the word of the night.
You know what? I found out something real interesting.
What?
You ever heard... Well, I know you're not one of these types, but you ever heard anybody talk about Red Rock opium?
All the time.
It's not even opium. It's incense. It's called dragon's blood. It's like the sap out of some plant.
Is that like a... When people call that a synthetic meth bath salt.
Yeah.
Kind of the same thing, only different.
Yeah. The reason I know is I was on the internet the other night, and I was thinking about buying some frankincense.
What's that?
You know, like in the Bible, like frankincense and myrrh.
What are you trying to do, create new Babylon?
I don't know. It's like in all these crazy religions, they always burn this incense.
Well, I don't think they had smell good candles back then.
I always wondered what it smelled like. But apparently it's like the resin out of some tree in the Middle East, and you can get it.
You want to hear a funny thing that I'm just seeing right now?
What's that?
George Takei has shared a photo on Facebook, and it's a meme. And it's a picture of the Magic Kingdom. And it says, a people trap set by a mouse.
Man, that's like really meta and amazing. Clever.
Only George Takei would find something that awesome to share.
I know.
So, anyway.
Finally his voice played. I read the caption.
Oh, do it. Do your George Takei and say a people trap.
I don't know if I can.
A people.
I did it too high to begin. I can't do it.
You can do it. You really can.
I know. Let's think about it.
A people trap
set by a mouse. Big black wang.
Oh my.
Remember when they would call people and say, "Do you have any lengthy black males?"
Yeah.
And that guy's like, "You disgusting. I'm going to stick my shotgun up your hind end and blow you your old head off. Your old vulgar outfit."
The George Takei soundboard. Something lusted after by all audio folk in the broadcasting business ever since.
I know.
I'd love to.
Remember how soundboarding was like a big thing for a while? Like Arnold soundboard.
When we were in high school?
Yeah.
The Arnold soundboard was epic. Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Get to the chopper. Wow.
Who is your daddy and what does he do? Get to the chopper now, yaddy.
You ever chortled?
What's chortling?
It's like, you ever do a chortle?
It sounds dirty.
Yeah.
I've never chortled, I don't think.
It's like an N-word laugh, I think. Man, I was listening to the radio on the way over here. Blasphemy, I know.
Were you thinking about killing it?
Yeah. But it was my favorite radio station, obviously, is a little independent project over in
Whitesburg County.
And they were playing some pretty heavy stuff, and it was like industrial, like Ministry or something.
I was about to say, were they playing Ministry?
Yeah. And it was like a lot of like, and like kick drums, and then like some kind of a crazy, like, you know, like nine inch nails sound.
Yeah, like the yeah.
And that, but it was like it did like a big drum, like a big kick drum blast beat thing, and then all of a sudden it stopped for a second. It did the Facebook new message, and then it started back again.
Wow.
It was like the most amazing thing ever.
That had to be a local band.
I don't know. And then the next song was like, "What about me? I know you flip your dick, but what about me? Sun never sets on the British Empire."
Oh my goodness. What are they playing on this? I'm confused.
I don't know.
Reach me that Apple charger, please.
You got an Apple that's down?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, leave it plugged up.
Would
reach me the charging end.
You're going to have to be more specific.
I thought it was rather self-explanatory.
My brain doesn't work right. It hasn't for years.
Mm-hmm. The brain works in mysterious ways.
It does.
So, you know, for all the folks that are going to be listening to us that haven't heard us before, we do have another correspondent that is a, you know, lack of better terms, ridiculous voice for our area.
Yeah.
His name's Forrest. And,
Forrest.
And he's away right now at dispatcher school, like 911 dispatcher. And I actually spoke to him today, Ned.
Did you?
He gave me a status report.
They give you a little rundown on dispatching.
Well, mostly it was like I got a message and it was like, "Call me." So,
this is either Forrest or George Takei.
Yeah. So I call and he's like, "So, did you talk to him?" It's like he knew we were talking to Phil today, and I was sad that he couldn't be here. But Forrest is doing well, and he looks forward to coming back to us in 2 weeks.
Well, that's very, very fine.
And then he's going to be gone for a week, and then he will be back permanently.
It's like everybody we know is like loves Phil.
Yeah, man. It's crazy. Like, I mean, it's Phil.
Yeah. And we told him about BB.
We did. Before the interview started, we told him about B.
That's off the air. But
it's also something for those of you who didn't listen to us before now. Longtime friend and family member of Kill Your Radio recently passed away. And he was probably the biggest physically and, you know.
And figuratively.
Yeah, the biggest Phil Anselmo fan ever. And it made his day the last time Down played Knoxville. He waited out back and got to meet Phil.
Yeah.
A story that he told us several times in one night.
Yeah, it was his main go-to story.
It was his crowning achievement.
And this guy, if you don't remember back us talking about him, he had met almost everybody in metal. You know what I mean? Like he went to shows a bunch and took pictures and like threw people out of the way and got backstage like at most of them.
I mean, he went out drinking with the singer of Five Finger Death Punch.
Yeah.
This guy met Fear Factory probably 35 times.
Yeah.
They probably would still know him by name.
Probably.
But, yeah. So, we got...
Yeah, I don't understand how he never became a roadie, like, for some big band.
I asked him once why he wasn't doing security for a band. Excuse me. And he said that it's kind of a really hard deal to get into. Like you got to know people in the security business or something.
Yeah. If anybody out of the people we know that would have been, though, it would have been him.
Oh, definitely. Because, I mean, just he was huge and loved metal.
He was. He was a huge metalhead.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
His head wasn't made of metal. It was huge.
It was...
Although at times you would think his head was made of metal. But yeah, so we got to tell Phil about that, and I was really happy because...
Yeah, it's sad we don't get to relate back to BB about our conversation, but...
It's sad that we couldn't have him on three-way.
Yeah, that would have been the most awesome thing ever.
To compare their voices.
Yeah. Yeah, BB also had a resonant... deep voice of sorts.
Resonant baritone.
A resonant baritone.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's like, I guess the whole first part of the show is just going to be us freaking out because we got to talk Phil Anselmo.
Yeah.
Because I still can't get over it. It's, you know, it's very rare that we get nervous because we've talked to quite a few people, but this was one of those rare times that it was just like, wow.
Yeah. It's like you hear a Pantera song and you hear them so much and they're like everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know. It's just amazing that somebody could do something and hit like be that lasting and permanent.
Yeah. Like Pantera is, you know, it's one of those things you know will never go away.
Yeah. Like 11-year-olds come up. And they're, like, freaking out over, like, hearing Pantera songs.
Yeah.
I mean, they're playing that at every guitar center in the universe. On the Line 6 Spider 3000 Turbo.
Dude, those are awesome.
I know. I'd love to have one right now. I need a good...
modeling amp.
Yeah, I need a good around the house amp.
What is your favorite Pantera song?
My favorite Pantera song.
It's a tough question.
It is. I kind of like A New Level. I like the really, really angry ones. Obviously, the classics like Cemetery Gates and stuff. Fucking Hostile. Can't be beat. Fucking Hostile, yeah. I might even change my answer on that one.
Right, because that is probably the angriest.
Yeah. The Vulgar Display of Power, it's hard to pick a good one.
My definitive favorite Pantera song is I'm Broken.
Yeah. You know, one of my favorite riffs is of a Pantera song is...
5 minutes long?
No. I went blank on it. It's the one that's in 12-8.
Yeah, you used to play it all the time. I thought it was 5 minutes alone.
Oh, that's a Revolution is my name.
Yeah.
Yeah,
It's kind of Beatle-y.
That's a dandy. That's on one of the later albums, too.
It is. Man, you can't go wrong with Pantera.
I know.
At any time.
And Dan, it's like both bands are so big that you couldn't imagine one person or two being in it, both of them.
Yeah. I mean, think about the talent that he's always surrounded with.
I know.
He gets the best of the best no matter what he does.
He's like the Miles Davis of metal.
It's like in Pantera, he has Dime and Rex and Benny. And then in Down, he's got freaking Pepper Keenan.
I know.
And then
Pepper Keenan is nailed to perfection the heavy southern sound with like the riffs, like the Black Sabbath riffs,
mm-hmm.
and the harmonized lead parts. I mean, they make me emotional, Pat.
I know. Rex was in Down as well for a while.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I was going to say one, and then I said two.
And then friggin' Hank 3 was in Superjoint.
Yeah.
I mean, that's out of the woodworks.
Yeah, Superjoint, yet another huge band.
You know, it's weird to me, too, to think back on it, how Phil, you know, after Pantera, Phil was doing Down and Superjoint, and then Dime and Vinny done Damage Plan.
Yeah. And
Damage Plan was awesome.
Right.
But it just didn't take off the same way.
No.
I don't know. It's weird.
It is weird because Dimebag was like probably the most well-liked metal musician ever.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I don't know. It's hard to make a comparison. He's like the Bob Marley of metal.
He really is.
Like, he's like a metal god now. Like he's,
oh, yeah.
I mean, he's like a metal martyr or something. But, yeah, I don't know. It bothers me that all the bad falling out and stuff had to go on because, you know, that's a touchy subject.
Yeah.
Amongst people that we've met, like, just recently.
Yeah.
People that are, like, one side or the other, and, you know, they blame everything on one side or the other.
Yeah, it's a really strange subject. To, you know, and kind of, that's kind of why we didn't get into Pantera at all during the interview. And, you know, recently, every interview I've seen with Phil, it's been like, fans are wanting a Pantera reunion with Zakk Wylde playing guitar. And Phil has to say the same thing every time. So,
yeah, we can just save that, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's been asked a million times. It don't need to be asked again.
Yeah.
We.
I was kicking myself. No, you were too, though, that we didn't ask him about his big haunted house.
I know.
That would be so perfect.
I really wish I wouldn't have thrown in the fan question. No offense.
Yeah, but
I wish that we could have got on his big friggin' horror metal festival he's having.
Yeah.
Because part of Kill Your Radio is scary shit, so.
Yeah, it's like, it was like the perfect combination of things that would fit in with the Kill Your Radio.
You know what was funny is not too long ago, pretty recently actually, somebody asked me about the content of our show because, you know, when we do any type of business stuff, we have to explain to people why they should be a part of Kill Your Radio or interview or want to carry us on their station or something. Somebody recently asked me about our content, and I was like, oh, well, we've interviewed, we've interviewed Jason Newsted and John Fred Young and Chris Jericho and Eddie Trunk and Maria Brink and blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, oh, and we've interviewed Macy Book out from Teen Mom and Daniel Harris and Sid Haig. And people come back and they're like, so what exactly is the content? And it's like, well, it's pretty much just whatever Ned and I like.
Yeah. But having said that, metal and horror and all that and wrestling, it's all a big part of the same
crowd
a lot of the
time. It really is.
It's like, extreme entertainment, I guess.
Yeah, because like we go to the horror conventions, and they always have wrestlers at the horror conventions.
Yeah.
And then there's like, oh, we're going to have an after party with, Skin and the Christians playing or something.
Yeah.
So.
And it's like horror. The whole point is to just be like over the top, ridiculous, gory, killing, dark. And I mean, that's a lot of metal just goes hand in hand with that.
Exactly.
Just, good people, but that like extreme stuff, because it is, everybody's cool as
oh yeah
shit at all these events and stuff.
Oh yeah,
but you can a metalhead's gonna be into horror. I mean, it's like unless you're like Swedish and you
are and horror's way too mild for you.
Yeah, like you're into metal and architecture or something.
Metal and architecture. two things that in my head would go badly together.
Yeah, I don't know. I can still see it. Metal songs are kind of like architecturally put together, you could say, I guess. Metal's a strange form of music.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
It really is.
It's almost like classical music. A lot of it is, the way it's... Like the harmonies and stuff.
Yeah.
And the dramatic. The drama. The high drama.
Isn't it weird to think that like back in the late 60s and early to mid 70s, people were thinking that like this stuff would never work.
Yeah, I know.
But people heard Black Sabbath and they're like, oh my God.
That's another thing. It's always been the underdog.
Yeah. Like
people always hate on metal.
Yep.
And never respect.
Always prevails.
Yeah, it's like a force to be reckoned with. It's got like the tightest knit community of any music
style. You know something I think about too? Like, how often do you hear of like, I don't know, who's some rapper that's big right now?
I don't know. Smile Wayne?
Yeah. or somebody like that. How often do you hear about them doing like a U.S. concert tour?
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about rap concerts, but from what I can tell, it's more like, it's like a hype thing.
From what I can tell, they don't happen a lot.
No, I mean, they have like tours and stuff, but yeah. It's just like, it's like a club scene. And like, they don't really do their songs, they just do like medleys and stuff.
Yeah, but think about when you hear, oh, Dan's touring the U.S.,
Yeah. Yeah, that shit ass 94728 Bone Thug Double X
Meet you at the crossroads.
Yeah.
If we're wrong about the rap touring scene, we strongly apologize.
Yeah. Yeah. That it's only from the fact that we
have no respect for it.
No.
Unless it's CeeLo Green.
Yeah, CeeLo, you're the man.
I pulled out a Sheldon Cooper trick there.
Yeah.
He's like, I poke fun at the geologists because I have no respect for their field.
But yeah, metal is like...
It's just the ultimate, man. It's
it,
like...
It is, people.
They tour and tour and tour.
Yeah.
And that's what I love. I mean, I love getting a new album, but like... Going to a show, man.
Yeah.
It's just awesome. Especially these summer festivals.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
There's so much more to it than, I mean, it's like a whole society in there.
There's a lot more to it than just wearing a black t-shirt and throwing up horns.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many characters.
Yeah.
I mean, there's people that have, they're like trying to indoctrinate their kids with heavy metal all the way up through like crazy, like shirtless freak out mosh pit dudes and couples, like metal couples and like fake metal couples.
Yeah. Fake metal couples.
And then just like the real weirdo characters that you gotta love that just sort of like slink through the crowd.
Yeah.
They've got like a...
like a Spider-Man costume.
They got like 1981 AC/DC hair. And they're like, you can tell that they've lived on cigarettes and beer for the past 10 years.
The only song that's playing on their head is Shoot the Thrill on concert.
Yeah. And they've just got that look of I don't know.
Metal.
Just unadulterated metal in their eyes.
Nothing's going on, and they're standing in a corner by themselves, swaying back and forth. And they're kind of going,
Shoot the Thrill. You made a woman, too many pills. Then you've seen people that's obviously like worked on their outfit for like 3 months before the show.
Oh, yeah.
Like they've got some kind of leather apparatus with...
at least three patches of the band that they're coming to see, but it's a band that's like 3 years old.
They've had to like contract a blacksmith to help them
get the studs on the leather.
To out the metallurgy.
It's like I want a lot of studs on this, but I want this 30 Seconds to Mars patch very visible.
But I love it. I love all of it.
Oh yeah,
it's like sunshine and beer drinking,
beer drinking, and hell raising.
Yeah, everybody's got their T-shirt in their pocket, and they got some kind of crazy sunglasses on or something. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
There's water flying everywhere and
beer,
beach balls.
Yeah. Beach balls are always fun at concerts.
And like, people are on stage in, like, full long-sleeved, like, suits of clothes. And it, like, 140 degrees.
Giving it their all.
Yeah, just freaking out.
Man, I'll see how those guys do it sometimes, really.
Yeah, I know.
There's another cool thing about Dime. He was one of the first metal guys to wear shorts all the time.
I know. He made camo shorts, cargo shorts, like an institution in this country and worldwide.
And sleeveless button-up work shirts.
I mean, that's like the standard go-to lower... lower dress of like permanently of a lot of people. You know what I mean?
They sell them at Abercrombie.
I know.
You know,
and I mean,
look at what Dime started.
I know.
And Abercrombie took those Abercrombie bastards.
I know. I don't know what the deal was, but every other ad in a guitar magazine for years since his passing has been Dime with some kind of a new amp or a pedal or something.
Oh yeah.
I mean he's like the most marketed figure like in history of metal, probably.
He really, really has become to be.
And like, what was it? Crank amps and stuff.
Crank amps and ding guitars.
Yeah.
He played Randall amps before.
He had Washburn guitars back for a while too.
I think the first big the Dime Lightning Bolt guitar, the first one was a Washburn, I think.
Yeah.
If I'm not horribly mistaken. And then he just played a normal wah pedal, didn't he?
Yeah, he had like his own crybaby, but it was just like a...
his camo. I don't think there was nothing special about it. But I mean, like before they gave him one, he just played a normal one.
Yeah, it might have had like some kind of special inductor or something in it, but...
Right. Huh. I don't know.
Yeah.
But folks... we're going to get to the interview with Phil Anselmo because we know everybody's waiting for it.
I know, we're just dilly-dallying.
We've held you up long enough. So we'll sit back and relax and listen to one of the coolest guys in heavy metal ever, Mr. Philip Anselmo, on Kill Your Radio. Kill Your Radio with an extremely special guest on the line, Mr. Philip Anselmo. How are you doing, sir?
How you doing, brother?
We're doing great, man. We've listened to the new album, and it's man, it's mean and angry and just how do you keep going, man? How do you keep so creative with all your different projects?
Oh hell, man! It's you know, it's what I do, man. You know, it's really these days all I'm concentrating on are the solo band and down and. And that really simplifies things, makes it easy on the old man. And you know, it's music's part of my life. Music is what I do, and how it comes out, you know, sometimes I'm not even sure about it till it's done. So this is one record, and I'm glad you like it, and I'm glad whoever likes it, and whoever hates it, hates it. So because it's got to go both ways, you know. It's got to fucking, you know, you got to have a... A little bit of balance there, but you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, if I were to ask you to describe the album with one word, what would it be?
Ambitious.
Ambitious. I would have thought angry, but...
Well, really, it's not as angry as people think. You know, I think I might have said that in one interview, and everybody took off running with it.
Right.
Because really, I think where a lot of people get that the angry thing from is the expression of music. But if you listen to, you know, any other type of aggressive music, you know, perhaps maybe angry could come off with them as well. And really, it's not the case. Especially when you're talking about expressions of music. And, you know, there's a whole lot of humor, actually, believe it or not, within this, that last record, Walk Through Exits Only, and a lot of me beating up on me. So, you know, I don't think I was angry. I think I was honest. Honest would be the word.
You know, it's funny that you should say me beating up on me, because it kind of leads around back to something that we talked about on one of our very first shows. It seems like sometimes metal fans may take themselves too seriously. I mean, we're huge metal fans, but do you think that that's the case sometimes? Do you think maybe some of the fans can't find it in themselves to poke fun at themselves?
Well, I think that on the surface, a lot of metal bands might take themselves very seriously, you know, on the surface. And what I mean by that is, I guess, in interviews or in front of the public or just their fans and shit like that. But, you know, I remember how it was to be a young gun and very driven with music, and that's how you feel, you know, it's an honest feeling, you know. But these days, you know, I'm a little older, I'm hopefully a little more mature, and I think it comes with time, you know, to where you're able to say, you know, fuck it, man, you know, have a laugh at yourself, because it does take a lot of the pressure off. And I don't want to be seen as one of those unapproachable motherfuckers that can't be bothered, you know, for people's time of day. You know, that's what I'm there for, man. If I'm, you know, in town to do a gig, you know, the only time really I'll tell people, hey, look, I'm coming out or I'm coming out to sign something, and I don't do it immediately, it's probably because I'm sitting on the toilet, or I got another interview to do, or it's bus call, and they run me to the bus and then run me to the next town. But all my intentions are very, very clear and good. So to answer your question, to get straight back to it, you know, I think everybody needs to probably eventually at one point in life. Learn to fucking laugh at who you are and what you do, and then laugh at all your fucking human mistakes, because, you know, we all got them, and a lot of times they're fucking funny.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. So, this record that you've done is just like all your records. They're obviously very straightforward. They're, you can really tell that they're from within you and your band and what you're doing. Do you think that it's getting harder and harder to find genuine music these days?
Oh, you know, I wouldn't say that, because I think that, you know, if you take a look at music and you look at the fans, you know, there's you take 10 fans of music, various music, and you say, what do you like? You know, chances are there's going to be some discrepancy and difference in each person's taste in music to a certain degree. So I think a lot of that has to do with taste. And taste and music, good music and all that shit, or honest music is all in the eye of the listener, or the ear of the listener, I should say. But really, it's up to people what they want to take to heart. But, I think that music right now is always going through a transitional period, everybody kind of, I think the popular trend is to revert and go prototypical or retro, so to speak. But as far as absolute creativity within music and making sounds with different instruments that are considered extreme for heavy metal and this and that, that's where I think the transition part is making its way through music right now, and I think that there's some damn good bands out there, and I think that there's some hackneyed, overdone followers out there, really. So, you know, once again, music's all in the eye of the beholder, and as far as creativity goes, once again, eye of the beholder.
Exactly. There's no better way to put it. So, you guys have obviously played some shows. What are the future touring plans for yourself and the Illegals?
Well, man, we are looking at a fall run, and there is absolutely nothing set in stone, except really, I definitely want to hit some cities that we did not hit last time. And, you know, when you set up a tour, normally you have to do either one side of the country or the other. So this time around, I'd like to take it up the West Coast and hit some cities in between, and, you know, try and fill in the blanks, man. And then hopefully somewhere down the line, hit some secondary cities and then tertiary cities, because they all deserve it. And I miss a lot of cities, and I miss jamming, man. There's a lot of ground to cover, and I'm willing to cover it. So hopefully we can pull our shit together and do this.
Right on, man. We'd love to see you come to Kentucky.
I'd love to play Kentucky, god damn it. I would. I'm out, man. If you said tomorrow there's a gig, I'd be there. Shit.
Well, I mean, I'm sure we can arrange something, but I don't know how we could ever pay for it. So.
Well, you know, I ain't asking for much shit, you know, these days, you know, gig's a gig, and, you know, fuck. And when you say that, it makes me think, you know, it doesn't matter the size of the room, man, it really doesn't. I played in the biggest places possible, you know, and also the smallest places possible. And right now, you know, with Down, we play nice-sized theaters and House of Blues and nice little decent-sized rooms. But with the solo band, you know, we can play the small bars, man, the tiny little holes in the walls. You know, that's why I do bands like this, you know. It's going back to the beginning, going back to roots without, I guess, imitating myself music-wise, but you know, still covering the old ground. Shit, man, there ain't a damn thing wrong with that. You know, I think it's healthy.
Definitely, man. That's one of the things that, I mean, we all love going to the big festival shows and all that shit, but going to a show at a decent-sized theater or a small bar, it's so intimate. There's just a completely different vibe when you do that.
I love it. I love any gig, but there is a big, big tender spot in my heart for those very tiny hole-in-the-wall places that fucking pack out and create that particular atmosphere. I love it.
Oh yeah, it's great. So for the Down fans, what are the upcoming plans for Down?
Well, it's amazing that you bring this up, because we jammed yesterday and came up with our first song for the new EP, and we are getting back together on Friday. What's today? Wednesday? We're getting back together tomorrow, Jack.
Hot damn.
Thursday, if I do remember my days of the week correctly. So Thursday, which is tomorrow, we will begin writing song number fucking two. So we are very busy over here at the old housecore fucking factory of noise.
Oh, man. That's so great to hear. Down is definitely one of our favorite groups. And
hey, man, it's good, too. It's heavy. Heavy, heavy, heavy. Really feels like we're going for a total, well, I don't know what kids call it today, but, you know, early Black Sabbath vibe. That's all I'll say.
That's awesome, man. See, that's, we love the southern sound. You know, we're from Kentucky. We love it. And the groove, man. You can't beat metal with just the awesome groove.
Well, hey, man, you know, we are definitely from New Orleans, Louisiana, and anything that we put out is going to have that southern tinge to it. But really, the basics are Black Sabbath, and that's where the mother of invention came from with Down. And of course, you can throw in a handful of other bands, but all them handful of other bands, you know where they came from? Black Sabbath. So hey, like I said, the new stuff is very sabbed out, and but of course it's going to have that Down sound. So you know, but either way, as far as inspiration goes, you know, we're going back with straight up slow motherfucking Black Sabbath.
That's awesome, man.
Slow and heavy, may I add.
Can't wait to hear it. I actually, I think the first time I ever saw Down, you guys played with Metallica up in Columbus, and that was a crazy show. You guys were awesome.
Oh, wow. On the circular stage?
Yep.
That was awkward, but I'm glad you enjoyed the show.
Yeah, that circular stage, man, that kind of gets me sometimes. It's a little, I don't know, it's weird.
You know what it is? It's built for Metallica and Metallica land, and that's how it should be. It's their stage. But as far as, you know, being an opening band and playing on that stage, it is a little awkward, but we appreciate the opportunity. And it was fun. And, you know, hey, man, you know, whatever. The stage could be triangle-shaped. I don't care.
maybe you guys can pull that one out for the next Down tour, the triangular stage.
Either that or the octagon stage.
Well, you'd have to put a cage up and have fights while you guys are playing.
Hell no. I have no cages for me anymore. I'm retired. No,
man, come on. You can't be retired yet.
The octagon, forget it. I'm retired. Ain't nobody pulling me to the ground or any of that shit. I'm not down with all that. I'll just hit the old bag these days, because the bag don't hit back.
No more chokeholds for Phil, huh?
Oh, hell no. I can't take it anymore. Just give me a cigarette and it's kind of similar. but a lot more pleasant.
Definitely. So, you know, it's well documented in the media that you've had a long history with substance abuse, and I know you've been clean for several years now, but is it hard when you're on the road to keep that going? Does it ever get hard for you?
Well, What's the question? I'm sorry.
You've been clean for several years now, but when you're on the road, is it kind of hard to stay that way at times?
Not at all, because they make this shit called beer, and, you know, a couple beers hits the spot right off the bat, and you know, like Steve Miller famously put in his song, I'm a midnight toker, you know. And when he says that in that famous song, you know, chances are I might be a midnight toker here and there, but that shit anymore, my God. You know what? Waking and baking kicks my ass. I cannot do it anymore. I cannot do it anymore. But really, you know, I'll have me a couple beers, and that's fine, man. And that's good enough. And I have, you know what? I think people are very clear these days that hard drugs and all that fucking shit are just really aren't part of my fucking vocabulary anymore, unless I'm talking against them. So I haven't had anybody offer me anything or try and push shit on me or anything like that. It's so, you know, big props to the fucking great fans for not doing that, and big props to the scum of the earth who sell fucking drugs for staying away from me. So fucking, you know, good on both sides.
There's always some good on both sides.
Well, you know, like I say, you gotta have the good with the bad, man, to even out shit. You know, life is, you know, you gotta have your adversaries and you gotta have your fucking comrades. So that's just how shit rolls.
Damn right, man. So Housecore Records seems to be going really strong. How many bands do you have signed with you right now?
Hey, man, it's actually slow. That, you know, with the release of the solo record, you know, that's been the biggest push for Housecore right just yet. And there has been a lot of different circumstances for not signing bands that have popped up in the last several months. But, you know, there is a new year coming up, and there are about three or four bands that are extremely interesting, in my opinion. And I think we'll find out a lot more about them and Housecore Records in this next year coming up. So keep them eyeballs peeled.
Right on, man. So if a band were to want to maybe submit something to you, how would they go about it?
Well, we have a P.O. box, and that's a well-known thing. You go to thehousecorerecords.com, and there's a P.O. box for submissions. And I'm actually backed up on submissions right now. I just got a whole nother slew of them suckers in. And today's one of them days where myself and my engineer could very well possibly sit down and have this thing that we call an administrative meeting, where we go through all the submissions and chunk the ones that really don't belong and keep the ones that are very interesting or sort of interesting, and then put the ones that we like on the side. And we've been doing that for a while now, and I do have a method behind my madness. You know, there's a lot of bands, I think, that are very damn good out there. And I just, you know, right now, with the big rush of touring that I've done with Down, and then with obviously with the solo band and doing all the interview work, especially with the do-it-yourself record label and running that and all that, I've been very, very busy. But still, I've been keeping tabs on those special bands out there. So I don't want anyone to think that I'm not thinking about you, because I am thinking about you. It's just a matter of me acting on these thoughts. And that, you know, when I think about shit long enough, brother, eventually I'm going to act. So everyone who has submitted some stuff, just hold tight there, you know, hold tight. I know who you are.
Damn right, man. You know, it's awesome to hear somebody that's still so into music after you've been doing it for so long, and you're going to help out other bands. I mean, that's
hard to come by. I love it. And when I tell motherfuckers, everybody who gives me a CD, that I will definitely listen to your CD, I mean that with 100% of my heart. And it's the truth. And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at about 50 to 51 CDs right here that I need to go through today, no later than today, because I made a promise, and I intend to keep that promise.
Man, that's dedication.
Fucking A. So, and it's also, sorry, a lot of cases, damn good music, too. Because you never know what you're going to run into, man. Talent is everywhere, man. And it's just up to the individuals, you know, wielding the instruments, you know, what they do with it, man. And sometimes you run across a fucking awesome gem, and it's tough to ignore, man. And those are the bands I reach out to.
Right on, man. So I have a question from a fan on our Facebook page.
And sure.
They want to know, ranging from Pantera all the way up to right now, what is your most memorable gig? What sticks out in your mind the most?
Oh, man, that's a very tough question, but in truth, you know, I love, and actually I demand of myself to live in the present. And I think these days are fantastic, and they're wonderful, and every day is a new opportunity. But there is really no beating the highest and even the beginning points of Pantera. There's really no beating Pantera, man. Pantera was an amazing, magic, fantastic time in my life. And really, you know, even in before we were putting out records and shit like that, you know, on the major labels and playing our ways up through fucking every club across America and Europe and shit like that, trying to make a name for ourselves, you know, it was just the getting there part of it, you know, growing up together and I guess being surrounded by this incredible level of talent and all the personalities there within, you know, the Pantera days are just, once again, just it's really impossible to fucking beat, man. Next to today, you know, today is just another day in life that, you know, eventually I'm going to have to find something, improve upon it, and do something positive today. But as far as history and as far as fucking, you know, looking back at a career, it's tough to beat Pantera.
Right on, man. So we're running short on time. I'll tell the fans where they can get the solo album at.
Well, normally at Best Buy and they got some mom and pop shops that carry the record and stuff like that. And I tell you what, man, this is something I'd like to say. When we left for the Philip Anselmo and the Illegals run, we did have a glitch in the store, on the online store. Well, that shit is fixed. So the store is open again, and you can order through the Housecore Records, and everything's back up and running. And I want to send out a gigantic apology to all the fans that were trying to buy the record online, and the store would not react. It was, like I said, once again, one of them goddamn computer glitches that I don't know a goddamn thing about, but thank God the rest of my team does, and we got that shit ironed out, so it is now available again.
Right on. Well, Phil, we want to thank you so much for talking to us. It's been an honor, man. You're one of one of our heroes.
Anytime, man. I always enjoy talking to you and Kentucky Fried home base. I love it, man. And I hope to see you fuckers soon, man.
Hey, we'll see you on the road, brother.
All right, big brother. Great talking to you. Spread the word.
Will do.
All right, man.
See ya. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, what can you even say after that?
Well, we usually say, what can you say?
Yeah.
When we can't say anything.
Right.
This is like the Conan O'Brien show. Like, tonight's the greatest show ever.
Yeah.
Every night. Tonight really is the greatest show.
Tonight really is, to this point anyway.
Yeah. This is as good as it gets right here. That was really Phil Anselmo.
Yeah. No fooling, guys.
Yeah, no fooling.
And it's awesome to know that just yesterday, Dan was together and jamming.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, that was... That warms my heart, Pat. Ain't that crazy, though? Like, you're so used to talking to people that, like, have, like, these bands that nobody's ever heard of. And then you talk to Phil, and he's like, yeah, we had band practice here yesterday.
Yeah.
It's so nice. Your band is awesome.
It's like, yeah, but your band, you guys are on T-shirts. And we buy them. Like, I paid to see you.
That's so awesome, though. He's like, we got together and wrote a song, and now we're going to write another song. It's like, wham, bam.
What about if I remember my days of the week correctly?
Yeah, if I can keep them straight. Today being Wednesday, as it were.
Yeah, and it's cool to know that you can send a submission to Housecore, and that at some point, Phil will have an administrative meeting with his engineer. And listen.
I know. I love it.
I do too.
That's old school metal. That's like the old cassette tape in the mail.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
I mean, fuck sending him MP3 in the email.
Mm-hmm.
Send him a damn tape.
Yeah. A cassette tape. An 8-track. Send an 8-track.
Yeah.
How cool would that be?
Cut your own vinyl or press it or whatever you do to vinyl.
That would be awesome. I mean,
hook your amps up to a mechanical phonograph. A wind up one.
The needle would like go through the vinyl.
Yeah. Now, it'll be interesting to see these up and coming bands that he's got in the woodworks.
Yeah, you know, because Phil. But he, from his track record, we know that he knows metal and what's good and what's not.
Yeah.
So if he's going to put his stamp of approval, which is probably the word fuck, on it, then it's going to be damn good.
I mean, it's just, I don't know, I forgot what I was going to say. Hit me up, Pat.
You're blown away by the metal.
I was blown away by the metal.
It's cool that he can poke fun at himself.
Yeah.
Is another topic that Kill Your Radio has covered, as I said during the interview.
Oh, yeah. What I was going to say, though, is apparently Phil is not the biggest fan of retro.
No. And that's something Ned has spoken upon, for those of you who haven't listened.
Yeah, that was kind of like a little subtopic in one of our other shows, is these bands that they find an obscure old album and just their whole sound is that album.
Right.
I mean, not even copying the band, but maybe even just one album. Because it happens very frequently nowadays.
Yes, yes it does.
And sometimes you'll think a band is just, how did they do that? And then you'll listen to the original band and you're like, that's how they did that. They just sound exactly like that band.
Right.
And I don't know. Maybe there is some evolution still going on in metal. I was kind of a doubter, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But...
It is
what it is.
Yeah. I was looking at some kind of list or something the other day, and Dillinger Escape Plan was on there. And I was watching their live thing at Golden Gods.
Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. It's so crazy it leaves like song structure territory. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's just too abstract.
It's noise.
I mean, it's amazing what they do.
No, it's not.
It is. If you had to recreate it, it would be complex, but it would not be very musical in a traditional sense. It's more like a science experiment.
Gone wrong to me.
Not to say that I don't like it on some level, but when you got down with all those harmonies and stuff.
I can honestly say I don't like it on any level. I mean, and no offense, you know, they're doing what they're doing, and as long as it works for him, that's awesome. But man, okay, like here, we were at Orion, and we were standing on one of the side stages because Metallica had played a secret show the day before, and I was like, maybe they'll play a secret show again.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never heard of the band Fiddler. So I'm like, maybe this is really Metallica under another fake name.
You're going to think that from now on. You're going to go to Osborne Brothers Festival and think Metallica's going to be there.
Yeah. So we're standing here, and like Fiddler comes out on stage, and I'm like, oh, well, they're a real band. And the little bass player, he was like doing his sound check, and Dillinger Escape Plan was playing on another stage, like 60 yards away, and just going back crap crazy.
Yeah.
And he got the mic, and he was like, this little bass player from Fiddler did. He looked at the singer, and he's like, man, why are they so angry? He said, I think we should just wait until they're done to play. He's like, I kind of want to go watch and see what happens.
I know.
But, I mean, I think that's why people go watch them. They want to see what happens.
Well, it is. It's like a spectacle. It's something. It's more like a... It's kind of like punk music is... Like the intent is better than the execution.
I think they should call it punt music.
Punt.
Because you want to punt them off the stage.
Punt.
You know. I don't know. Sorry for the Dillinger Escape Plan fans. I'm just not.
Pat's hating on everybody.
No, I'm not hating on everybody. I'm not a DEP fan.
Yeah.
I'm a DDP fan.
It's not a...
It's acquired taste, I would assume.
Yeah, I'm a DP fan.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Well, you
sicko.
Depends on who you heard it from.
Anyway.
Yeah, let's sweep that under the rug and walk over
it.
It.
Walk over it. But we hope that everybody enjoyed our interview with Phil. We can't thank him enough for being on the show. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Feeling so.
He's going to listen back to the rest of the show. Probably not. And think we're crazy.
I don't think so. May think we're nerds, but not crazy.
He might be the biggest Dillinger Escape Plan fan ever. He might think that they are the future of everything metal.
He may. I would assume he wouldn't, but he may.
But the whole point of that was to say, like, you can't get any crazier than that.
No.
And it be anything resembling
music.
Metal.
Right.
Music.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe we got to tone it back a little bit.
Maybe.
Maybe we need to quit putting more speakers in the cabinet.
Right.
More beats in the measure.
Yeah.
And more doodads on the drums.
Doodads.
Listen, I mean... If kick drums got fast enough, it would just be one solid tone. Could you imagine that? Like, they were so fast, like, it just went like... And, like, depending on your speed, like, if you played, like, 32,000 beats per minute, you could get, like a A. And then if you did, like, 40,000, like maybe you could get like a hum that was like a F sharp or something. So you were making like tones the hard way.
You would get perfect concert pitch, perfect 448.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then like there'd be one weird dude from Canada with like poodle hair that was the only one that could do it.
Is that a reference?
I don't know. I just got really amazingly specific.
To a man who shares the last name with a brand of shampoo.
I don't know. All I know is
you reckon he's in kin to shampoo people?
I don't know. Anyway, as Phil told us, as long as people keep making sounds with their guitars and new sounds, we'll be okay in metal land.
Yes, we'll always be okay in metal land.
And even he said that their new stuff had a very Black Sabbath-y feel to it,
which is makes it even that much more looking forward to it.
Yeah, but still with the down sound.
The down sound.
The down sound.
The down sound that we're down with.
Yeah.
And so, continuing on the metal journey that we've been on as of late, sometime in the very near future, Kill Your Radio will be interviewing Rex Brown. How cool is that?
I know.
If only we can get Vinnie Paul.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be disturbingly awesome.
The trifecta.
Yeah.
So we're working on it.
Rex is obviously an amazing bass player and has had an illustrious career.
And really probably doesn't get enough credit. Because through a lot of the Pantera stuff, not only did he have to play right along with Vinny, he had to play right along with Dime, too.
That's what I was getting ready to say, is his riffing on the bass was
legendary.
Was right there. He was riffing right with Dime.
Oh,
all
yeah.
The time.
But we got that coming up, and we're super stoked about it. So keep your eyes and ears peeled to the Kill Your Radio internet dial.
Yeah, and we're going to have that album review
coming up real soon, hopefully, with Mr. John from Boba Flakes, formerly. And in other news that relates back, this weekend, September the 13th through the 15th, is Scarefest in Lexington, Kentucky, and Kill Your Radio will be there. We're going to have horror stars such as Mr. Malcolm McDowell, several folks from True Blood, Daniel Harris, Kane Hodder, old friend of Kay Wilder.
You know what the opposite of True Blood is?
What?
False blood.
Well, what if the opposite of True Blood is false water?
False water.
Yeah. Also, Chandler Riggs from The Walking Dead is going to be there. But the cool thing about Scarefest is it's not only a horror convention, it's also a paranormal convention. And on the paranormal side, we're going to have guests such as Zach Baggins from Ghost Adventures, Josh Gates from Destination Truth. We really have to talk to him. If you don't know why, you need to listen to some of the older stuff. Mm-hmm. Old friend of Kill Your Radio, Grant Wilson. Be really cool to see him again.
Yeah.
Dave and Steve.
Buster.
Huh?
I'm sorry.
Buster. Steve and Tango from Ghost Hunters. Several folks from the paranormal world. Ned's personal hero, Chip Coffee. And as we said before, not only does heavy metal go with horror, but wrestling does too. Another old friend of KYR, Mr. Jim Cornette. Brutus the Barber Beefcake will be in attendance.
The most bizarrely named wrestler of all time. Possibly.
And an original studio-owned mystery machine will be there. So, Get your tickets. Come down to the Lexington Convention Center for Scarefest. It's going to be awesome. You might run into us. We might give you an autograph for free.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, we don't charge you like them old mean celebrities. No,
like them old mean famous people.
Them old mean famous people. That'll take you bottom dollar to sign their name to it.
What if you gave them, they're like, oh, it's $20, and you don't get a picture. You just hand them the 20, and you're like, sign this.
Yeah.
And give it back, because you deface government property.
Oh, Lord.
I wonder how that would work out.
Have Secret Service guys with you.
Yeah, like you're the president or something. But Scarefest is going to be awesome, so everybody come and check it out.
Yeah, it'd be like that time Willie Nelson got caught with all that pot, and the judge made him do a concert in his courtroom.
It'll be exactly like that.
It's like Kane Hodder will sign you a dollar, and then the judge will make him stab somebody in the courtroom.
Lop their head off.
Take a picture of it.
With a dough machete.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, folks, that's all the time we have this week for Kill Your Radio. We will be back next week with a recap of Scarefest and hopefully some interviews and some pictures and some videos and all that kind of stuff. So, everybody go like us on Facebook, facebook.com/killyourradio12. And also, livejamsradio.com, the internet radio home of Kill Your Radio. Go register for livejamsradio.com. They're always doing contests, giving away concert tickets and prizes, and all kinds of wacky stuff. And they have Live Jams magazine, which Ned and I both actually write for. So go check it out. Check everything that has to do with us out, and we'll love you forever.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So, until next week, my name is Pat, my good friend, life partner, baby's godfather.
Soon to be a capo regime.
Yeah. Yeah, he's moving up in the world. It's Ned. We are Kill Your Radio. Forrest, come home to us soon.
Yeah. We're going to stand out on the porch and yell, and it's going to echo through the forest.
It is.
Until Forrest hears it.
Tonight we're going to look up at the moon and wonder if Forrest is looking at the same moon as us.
Yeah.
Which he would have to be, because there's only one moon here. We are Kill Your Radio. I'm Pat. That's Ned. And as always, he has to say,
long, black, wang.
We'll see you next week.